Well, last week during the Monday morning show, I spoke with Bemidji High School sophomore Alia Nimes Ibrahim about a petition she started in opposition to a proposed schedule change at the Bemidji High School. And while I was super jazzed to find out that kids were voicing their opinions in all the logical ways, I received a couple text messages from teacher friends of mine afterward, and I realized, you know, I hadn't really opened my aperture enough to consider the whole picture in terms of the budget and the cuts that the students were petitioning against. So in order to sort of create a better picture for myself and for any listener out there, I reached out to Bemidji School Superintendent Tim Lutz and asked him to try and help me get a handle on the complicated puzzle of school funding. And he graciously agreed to join me this morning. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, oh, Katie. That's just a habit of mine. I keep it on mute all the time until I need to talk.
It's probably for the best.
Right. Sometimes I do forget to unmute. But thank you for having me on. I really appreciate this opportunity to try to explain the complicated mess, which is what we call school in Minnesota.
Yeah. So school budgets, where do schools get their funding and how does it look on your end of things? Sometimes it's easy to stand on the outside of something and feel like you have a grasp, but until we get in there, you really don't know.
And many times, there's a joke in Minnesota that there are only two or three people in the whole state who truly understand school finance, and those are the people who created it. But it looks very slow and very unpredictable. And most of what we receive, you know, Minnesota schools receive funding supports and revenues from three sources in general. About 80 to 82% comes from the Minnesota legislature, from the state, which has the mandate within its constitution to support education. About 8 to 10%, not even that much, 6 to 8% comes from the federal government through the state, but it comes from the federal government. And then the rest comes from local levies, and that's what we tried to do, of course, through our referendum this past fall. And of course, as you know, that did not pass. So those are the three pots of money that come our way in Minnesota.
Okay. So lots of towns like Bemidji sometimes find themselves facing a potential shortfall. When you're looking at the future regarding this one in particular, like what kind of dollars are we talking about that the district has to sort of figure out a way to work with and around?
Well, this year we've been using the phrase perfect storm because it has been a long time coming, but then it really ramped up because of COVID. And generally speaking, school districts try to keep somewhere around 9 or 10% in reserves. And right now that would mean for Bemidji, we would have, our budget is normally between $67 and $70 million a year. So we try to keep about $6 or $7 million in a savings account, if you will, or a general reserve fund. But over the last couple of years, that has been shrinking because of additional costs we've been facing. And we actually only have about $1.5 million in that reserve right now. About a year and a half ago, we began to realize that our reserve fund was shrinking every year, and we'd better go out for a referendum so that we could boost up our reserve fund or savings account, if you will. And we felt that we had maybe 3 or 4 years before we really were going to end up in the red if we didn't do something. So that's why we pushed for the referendum when we did. And then COVID came along and made it a very complicated situation to pass the referendum. It was difficult. We couldn't hold meetings like we normally would. And the costs of COVID have drastically increased our depletion, if you will, of our general fund. So we are looking now at being in the red within a year's time from now, not 3 or 4 years from now, that which we first thought. So we're really scrambling right now to figure out how we can cut and balance that budget, because COVID really, really did a number on our budget.
How did COVID affect the budget?
Oh boy, there's a lot to it. But what COVID has done for us has probably done a number of things. And perhaps what I should do is back up just a little bit and explain that you know, when I talked about the state providing funding for us, generally speaking, they give us a 2% bump every year on inflation to cover inflation. But that 2% really applies only to the formula, which is tied to student enrollment, which is about half of our budget. So when we received 2% a year applied to half of our budget, that's essentially a 1% bump. And when inflation is 2% on the whole budget, that means we fall behind every year. So for the last 14 or 15 years, we have been falling behind and we are worse off than we were 15 years ago. And that's why we've been worrying about and concerned about our budget shrinking. And now you add some very specific COVID-related factors that have really decimated our budget. And you asked about what COVID did. I can tell you that because of the costs of personal protective equipment and the need to purchase cleaning and disinfectant supplies and to purchase enough devices so that we could really meet the needs of students in distance learning, I believe we spent between $3.5 and $4 million additional dollars that we actually didn't have in our savings account. So we had to cash flow those dollars. And then what added to the situation was that we lost a number of students this year. 280 students disappeared on us because they were mostly open enrolled students who came from other districts. Those districts started the year in a distance learning plan, so those students felt safer going back to their home districts. Many other students are on homeschooling regimens right now or online learning with online institutions other than Bemidji. So 280 students equals about $2.8 million in lost revenue. And then another major revenue source that we call compensatory revenue, which is tied to what is traditionally called free and reduced educational benefits. The good news is the federal government has been allowing free breakfasts and meals now for the whole year since the first day of school. And what that does is that reduces the incentive for people to apply for the free and reduced status, or what we call the application for educational benefits. Fewer applications coming in means fewer dollars for us from what is called compensatory revenue. So we have lost between $1.5 and $1.8 million there. So if you look at about $4 million in additional expenses and about $4 million in less revenue, you can see that we have about an $8 million swing in the black ink down to red ink. And that is why we are struggling so much here in Bemidji.
What ways do schools, other than bodies, what ways can schools generate a revenue stream?
You know, there aren't many. We're not like a business where we can just sort of go out and increase our advertising and treat it like a business model. We are dependent on a couple of factors and a couple of factors alone, and those are the formula that we receive from the state of Minnesota and then our enrollment. And the best thing that we can do when it comes to trying to generate reliable, consistent revenue flow, which as a rule we often cannot do, is to maintain consistent enrollment. But we can't really control that factor. We can only predict it and monitor it. So we're at the mercy of state funding formulas every biennium, and we ask for at least 2% from the legislature. And we're at the mercy of enrollment in the decisions of families regarding whether or not parents want to send their children to our school or homeschool them instead, or send them to a charter or a private school. We try to track that and monitor it so we know what to expect. And if it looks like our numbers are going to be down, we start reducing our staffing. But what makes it really tricky when it comes to reducing our staffing is that state law requires us to make such cuts in staffing by April 1st if our teachers are tenured, July 1st if they're not. But we often don't know what we are going to receive from the state legislature until the end of the legislative session, which doesn't happen until May. So a lot of times it's a big guessing game regarding how we're going to do from year to year. Something else we try to do quite often every year, and I've begun the process now, and that's lobbying the state legislature, asking them to please consider giving us perhaps more than 2% in any given year. We thought that was going to be the case last spring because there was a lot of money in the state budget, and then COVID came along and totally destroyed that and took that away. So between legislative lobbying and attracting and retaining students, it's really about all we can do to generate reliable and consistent revenue. Other than that, we have to go out to the public, our local taxpayers, and ask for a referendum. And as you know, that did not work this year. And when I was doing that this past fall, one of the mottos I often used was, we cannot cut our way to success. And if we're going to try to attract more students, we're not going to be able to do that through cuts. So that's how I asked for the support. But unfortunately, with COVID, it just was not a good time to go out for a referendum.
It was a strange fall, and messaging kind of gets lost in the ether too. So
absolutely. Just going to say, it was very tough doing virtual meetings and trying to get the word out that way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with Tim Lutz. He is the superintendent of ISD 31, the Bemidji School District. We're talking about school budgets and how schools position themselves for changes for the future. We were talking about COVID. Is there any way a school could have prepared for that kind of a thing? Is that something that you plan for on the outer circles of things that you deal with?
You know, I have to laugh because we've been working on this amazing new, what we call the All Hazards Emergency Preparedness Plan, which more and more schools are required and needing to do. And we're one of the first schools in the state to develop one of these for all potential hazards. And one of the exercises that we conducted while working on these hazards was to rate the probability of what hazards we might be facing. And unfortunately, school violence, weapons, those kinds of issues are becoming more and more common. But we also looked at other factors like earthquakes, and we rated that as fairly low, understandably. We looked at a pandemic, and I remember distinctly laughing about that, joking about it, and putting that down at a level of a one, a really low probability. And look what happened. So while we plan for things like this, we often don't expect it. And absolutely nobody in the country or world, I would imagine, expected something like this to come along and to do what it has done to our communities, to our schools, and to our budgets.
Wow. Yeah. I have a kid who is in the school district. As a family, we've learned lots of lessons, and we saw an incredible difference in the fall as far as online learning went, as opposed to the spring when we were all just shot into it, surprisingly. We've been really impressed. When you look back, what lessons have you learned from your side of the educational sphere?
You know, I think that pretty much the same thing you just said. We also have been both pleased and impressed. We've learned that we can do this. While it's not pleasant, and while many students and families are struggling, we have learned that if we develop a plan and stick to it with integrity and fidelity, we can keep students and staff safe with our plans. We've also learned a lot about the power of technology and how to tap into that technology even after the pandemic is over. We're working on a plan now to continue a distance learning academy so that students who find it difficult for whatever reason to be in school all day, every day, will be able to utilize a distance academy. Not only our students, but students from other districts who might not have the opportunity to register for a class because that class doesn't exist or it's full, they can check out Bemidji's Distance Learning Academy and take a class there. But we've also learned, I believe, the importance of interaction with teachers and being in school every day in terms of the power of supporting students and families socially and emotionally and academically. It's so important for students to be in school and to have that consistent relationship and that consistent environment. But it's nice to know that we can do it. This is a short-term situation, and I firmly believe that students are resilient and they will bounce back from this experience, use this experience, and be better for it.
Yeah. How can communities best support school leaders like yourself and other teachers other employees in the district. I know you're having to make some really difficult decisions. How can we support you?
Well, first, I want to thank you for asking that question. I think that's such a thoughtful question. I think one way that communities and individuals can support schools, especially districts that are struggling with the budget, is to learn, just to do what we're doing now, to learn about school budget issues and to remember that most of the time it's not brought about, these budget issues, because we're spending money irresponsibly as a school district. I'd like people to recognize that what we have here is not the result of irresponsible spending. We don't have a spending problem per se, but a funding problem, a funding shortage problem, if you will. I hope people will also remember that no school administrator likes asking for additional funding, and that we do it only when our existing funds are simply not enough to sustain our programs and our mandates. I think the best way to help is to vote yes on a future referendum, if and when we try again, because without funding from the state, we need that local funding to help us out. And if we continue to fail with our referendum efforts, then we'll need to continue making cuts. And remember, we can't cut our way to success. I should add that many people have already stepped up to give an amount equal to what their share would have been had the referendum passed. The referendum would have amounted to just under $45 a year on a house valued at $100,000. So many people have sent checks for that $45 or $90. We received checks for $100, $500, and just last Friday, a retired couple came in to my office and gave me $2,000, for which I'm very thankful. People giving like this may be what it takes to help keep the district afloat until we can pass another referendum. But it's that kind of understanding and that kind of generosity which makes a big, big difference.
Wow, thanks for all the work you're doing to make all the ends meet in this very, very complicated year. I know the high school's set to start back up again in a hybrid situation later this week. How are you feeling going forward right now with COVID?
I'm feeling very, very optimistic. I'm so pleased that we've been able to keep our elementary schools open and our students there face-to-face since the first day of school, and it's working. We've only had to take a hiatus of about a couple of months since right around Thanksgiving with our middle and our high school students, and we're coming back this week. And our numbers in the county are low and going lower every week. So I'm excited about that and very hopeful that the trend will continue so that we can bring our students at the middle school and the high school back full time, face to face, within a few short months, if not weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting being a parent of a remote schooler, I guess we could call it that right now, because she's not going back till next week is her week. One thing that happened, you know, she's in school on her computer, and I was like, what's going on? What's going on? I could hear two adults talking, and it was Mr. Nordby and Miss Mouse, two of the history professor teachers, and they were just having a side conversation, but it was a little bit of normalcy that students just don't get to see being remote school, just the normalcy of two adults communicating and face-to-face. So we're all looking forward to really getting back to normal. To have that thing be that much excitement, it seemed so strange, but that's how separated we are.
Absolutely. I've missed being able to, something I enjoy to do is walk the hallways, sit down and have lunch with students, whether they're elementary, middle school, high school, and find out what's going on in their lives and get to know them. And while I have been able to visit schools and to interact with students, it's had to be from a distance. I haven't been able to sit down at lunch with them because that would, you know, not be the best social distancing. I can't wait to get back to doing that, mm-hmm. Building connections and relationships with students. I really miss that. But I'm excited about the fact that we're testing now every other Friday of all of our staff who want to do these COVID tests. And we've been able to vaccinate now about 20% of our staff as of this weekend. So I'm very grateful for what's happening in the state and with Beltrami County Health and how they're supporting our local community with these vaccines and tests.
Excellent.
So every day we're getting closer to that day when we can come back to school, come back to normalcy, and have these connections again in a good, in a normal way for kids and for staff. The kids miss their teachers and each other, and we miss our students.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tim. I appreciate your time this morning. And if people have any ideas or contributions, connect with Tim at the Bemidji School
District. I'm very open. Absolutely. Please do. Thank you for this opportunity to reach out and to connect with people and to tell our story.
Yeah. Well, thanks for all you're doing for the district. I know you historically, even when you were in Kellyer, you really created a culture of connection between yourself and your staff and your students, and you're doing that here in Bemidji too. So thanks for bringing your energy to our district. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Katie.
Yeah. That was Tim Lutz, superintendent of the Bemidji Area School District.